Christmas Eve is such a heavy time for a lot of us because we're caught in keeping all the traditions, and we want to be able to keep them well. One of the traditions that we have at our house is to gather and watch A Christmas Carol, which I know can divide a room. For us, it's the 1951 black and white Alistair Sims as Scrooge. There is no other. Satisfied most people, but I can remember one of my children waiting about 20 minutes before that child, no gender mentioned because I don't want to put them on the spot at all, army crawling on the floor to leave. But within that movie, at one point, the ghost of Christmas past has brought Scrooge back to his youthful office parties with Fezziwig. And Scrooge's great testimony as Fezziwig is he always kept Christmas well. So how do we do that? How do we keep Christmas well? It's got a lot to do with the traditions and the habits that we have and the heart that we have toward those things. For some of us, it's immediately brought back to family. And we can see the faces that make even the long-distance travel with carloads of children somehow wonderful. And certain smells can bring us back. My father is an immigrant from Italy, so for me, Christmas Eve is that smell of my aunt's cleaning up eel and squid. Horrible, I know, but somehow nostalgic at the same time. But for all of us, there seems to be this piece of gift-giving that becomes really important. And there's this epic search for the gifts for those people that you care about. And you search on all these levels. You're trying to get just the right thing, carefully get it at the right price, and give it at the right time, usually December 25th. If you've messed that right time piece up, here's my advice. Pretend you stick wholeheartedly to the Gregorian calendar, not the Julian calendar. And January 7th is now Christmas for you, and you're on time. I just bought you 2 weeks. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. But here's the history and tradition as we get deeper to some of that gift-giving. It gets a little convoluted. Leave anything with people too long, and we cover it with our own fingerprints and our own stuff, and sometimes we can lose what was really bedrock in that. So if we push back into the history and tradition of Christmas in December, it has nothing to do with the day in which Jesus was born, and everything to do with pre-existing holidays. That the winter solstice, that time where the darkness got its most that it would gain of the hours of the day and tipped. And slowly light was coming back into the world. For European forebearers, that was an important holiday to recognize this winter has passed, there's hope again, and people would celebrate that. There was a big festival of Saturnalia, and it was a festival of really excess and debauchery that went on for 7 days, and early Christians found they couldn't get these pagan peoples of Europe to focus outside that holiday. They said, you know what we'll do? We'll speak of Jesus on this time. There's a truth so much greater, a story so much more consuming than this story of waiting for some warmth and celebrating with excess, that we think if we put that truth out there, it'll consume it over time. And so they began to speak of Jesus in that time of winter solstice. And those things that stayed ever full of life, like pine trees in the darkest winter, became associated with Christmas. And the emperor's demands that his enemies come and give him gifts during Saturnalia spread throughout all people giving gifts with a better heart than ever was given in that forced gift-giving of the emperor. But like people, we always end up pushing back too far. And there was a time for almost 2 decades where our Puritan forebearers in this country said, December 25th is outlawed as Christmas. No gifts, no wearing special clothes, but people still fought the stocks and shame signs to be able to celebrate Christmas. It's so tied to gift giving. Because I think, in fact, as we push deeper towards that bedrock, it's gift giving that brings us on this journey. Here's what I'd like to leave you with today. As we walk through Matthew chapter 2, I want to get us to the place where we see the journey of wise men to Jesus who brought gifts. The heart of the Father to give us the gift of Jesus. And our moment this Christmas to keep it well by receiving and responding to that gift. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went on before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come to you at this time, as we open your word, would you help our hearts to be opened to receive the gift that you have for us? Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to respond with faith and to see your word and behold wondrous things anew. It's in Jesus that we ask this. Amen. The wise men brought a gift for God. To give a little background, the wise men come from most probably Babylon. They're Persian. And in their culture, they're multiple things. They're astrologers who look at the signs of the stars and actually learned a lot about the science of the stars and the repeated patterns that were there. They're wise counselors who would take wisdom heard from all over the ancient world and bring it to people and teach and counsel and serve almost as a counselor and guide of those days. It's the role of wise men and wise women still to speak the wisdom that they hear. I've seen it in the best of wise people I've known. They feel almost a compulsion to share, a debt. That's something that wasn't there, something that's greater. They're able to speak to others. We have to be careful. Sometimes we try to shortcut the journey to wisdom. It can happen a lot of simple ways with us. We can believe that information is the same as wisdom, and that if I just study and get data, I'm wise. We can delude ourselves to thinking activity is the same as wisdom, and if I'm busy and efficient, I'm wise. And we can convince ourselves easily that passion is an acceptable substitute for wisdom, and if I'm just excited, it's the same as being wise. But wisdom requires time. Time for error, time for proof, time for pondering, wandering, and reliance. Wisdom seen in that invisible compass that guides actions and gives purpose to passion. For the wise men, they waited at the right moment for wisdom, and they took the moment when it came to them. It was a journey. They saw the star rise, and they followed. That star was something miraculous. It didn't behave like anything they'd ever seen. Verse 9 of the text tonight said it stopped over a place in Bethlehem for them to go to. They didn't know the distance of the journey. There was no GPS. There was no counting down the moments and figuring out the journey takes as long as the movie Frozen, so we're good. We'll be sane. We'll get there. They had to keep following. It's the peace of faith that we leave something to follow someone. They left the privilege of their society, the familiarity of it. They entered into sacrifice and danger and into a holy place called reliance on a pilgrim journey. And they followed, but it wasn't in isolation. They went with a company. We don't know how many wise men, because there are three gifts, we assume three. But they weren't insulated to be alone. Sometimes we think insulating ourselves will protect us from hurt or make life easy because we can control it. But God always calls a people as well as a person. And we follow after, if we're wise, in a community that seeks him. But they bring three gifts: gold, the stuff kings warred over and collected, what men and women gave hours and days in exchange for, the things so many value as the measure of winning in this world, they gave as a gift. To say, this king, this child is worth more. They brought incense, frankincense, not the stuff that would remind you of, you know, like odd glass smokable pipes and tie-dyes. It's not that kind of incense. This was an incense of worship. And they recognized not just the baby king, but the baby priest who would speak for them. And they bring myrrh. In the Old Testament, myrrh is always associated with celebration. It's at kings' coronations and great events. When the New Testament closes, myrrh has become more the formaldehyde of the day. It's associated with the dead. In some ways, it's an odd gift for a child to show up at a christening and say, I brought you a certificate to a funeral home, Mary, because your child will die someday like every other child. And it could be like the first goth Christmas ever, if not for this. They recognize this king would live, this priest would live, but he would be the sacrifice for us. And the myrrh tells them that they embrace this infant. We have to embrace the conclusion of Advent fully. We wait for the arrival of Christ in the manger. We await the arrival of his return. But we also have to await and take seriously that moment of the arrival of Christ in our hearts. It brings us closer to keeping Christmas rightly and well, to receive him. It's the foundational gift we celebrate that made wise men worship and shout wisdom to us through these gifts that Jesus is king, priest, and sacrifice. Because this was the heart of God in the giving of this gift. The Father gives gifts carefully. They're thought through with a heart that has watched us always. With a love and a power and generosity and a creativity unrivaled, with resources that are endless, with a desire not just to give us something temporary, but something that reflects him, eternal, solid. And he gives us what we need. John the fisherman will put it this way, the simple disciple, the apostle of love who had a poet's heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was the right time, the prophesied moment that Adam and Eve, when they were lost and distant from all the beauty and truth of the person of God, distant became his purposes for them, the community they had. When they had fallen into sin, God made a promise that there would be a child who would come from Mary, a child from a virgin, not just Eve, not just Adam and Eve, but a woman especially without man. And every prophet would proclaim more about this one to Israel. And he would be born in a humble place. Because that's what happens when God has to enter our space. There's not a place that doesn't require humility when you stand close to the needs of people. And that's where Jesus stood. Isaiah the prophet will say twice, "For to us a child's born, to us a son's given." It wasn't just a concept. It wasn't just a paying down of a debt. It was the sacrifice of humility to stand with us. God the King came as man to this world. He came to live with us because he could then lead us. My father was born on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It was argued a little bit, so bear with me for one nostalgic story, which I hope has a purpose here. He worked in road construction where his father had worked. He worked in the quarry. He worked on the road. He worked as a site foreman. He worked up from low office jobs all the way to being president. And when he was president, all the employees would really believe he'll lead us well because he understands every bit of the process of turning rocks into roads. And so King Jesus stood with us in our suffering. In temptation, he faced them all, yet without sin, so that we could know God closely as our God and all the glory of the Father's love and plan, the perfect gift, the right time was there in an infant that brought wise men to their knees. What may be the most important and personal question of the night is this: how do we respond to God's gift? For you will tonight. Christmas past will call you to respond. It can be with excitement and embrace. It could be with a casual indifference. It could be with an angry rejection. But you'll respond to Christmas past in this very present moment, and it will inform Christmas future for you. It's about receiving and responding. Receive Jesus. Not our desire for the Christmas traditions that have been laid on. Not a Jesus that we might define away from the Bible. That's just making God in man's image by our power. But the Jesus who's presented to these wise men. And make him yours. He can't just be your parents' faith. He can't be your church's faith or your reaction against your church's faith. He can't be your friend's faith or a nationalism faith. It has to be your heart receiving a gift. If you took John 3:16, could you stand faithfully and say, "For God so loved me that he gave me his only begotten Son, that if I believed in him, I would not perish but have everlasting life." And it brings us to that place of responding where servants then serve the Lord and praise his name. Make this Christmas a response of gold by recognizing his kingship, putting your life under his authority, taking the time this year as we turn another page towards a new year to evaluate your life on this. Am I following his leading like those wise men followed a star, or have I just gone my own way? Incense calls us to the response of a Christmas of reliance and worship and prayer. But finally and lastly, prepare for that death. Because to receive this gift, this grace upon grace, is more than just the celebration of an infant. It's to receive Bethlehem's manger baby who would become Calvary's crucified man and heaven and earth's risen king. So tonight, receive it like a beggar with hands open, waiting for God to give, not earning a bit of it. Respond to it and believe it like a saint. Sing it out, rejecting sin, celebrating the Savior. And speak it like a wise man. It may not be in great and big places. You may follow him like he lived, in humble spots, to be able to say to others, "This is the Christ." Tonight we'll light a candle off of that center of the Advent candles, the one that tells us hope, peace, joy, love is all held together at the spoke, all pointing to the Christ candle. And we'll share that flame, that light that came into the world, that gift that God gave that the darkness could not overcome, and we'll sing. And on behalf of the one for whom I speak and who gives to you, our Heavenly Father, know this. Christ has come into the world, the light of the world, and that is your gift this evening. Father in heaven, we are grateful as we turn to you, as we seek with hands wide open to be able to receive the gift that you've given. Lord, teach us even in moments where we would turn to a friend, a neighbor this night, that in giving there is not a loss but an extension. There is more light to be seen and to be shared. Receive our worship with joy and help our hearts to overflow and respond to you, Lord. And Lord, help us like Mary to treasure things in our heart that are often hard. The myrrh of this Christmas. That the gift is that you would love us so much that you would die to secure us as yours forever until your return. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.